So to start, we talked about how our online tax tool will omit line 10 in the affordability worksheet if someone is eligible for Medicaid. So the question is, will TaxSlayer do this as well?
No. So TaxSlayer is just taking the values that you enter. So if the amount on line 10 needs to be zero, then you've got to enter zero. TaxSlayer isn't going to say, oh, well, that person's Medicaid eligible, therefore line 10 has to be zero. You need to do that. And in order to do that, you may need to know what the Medicaid eligibility levels are in your state. And remember that they're different for adults and children. So you may need to do some homework to understand what Medicaid levels are like in your state. And I emphasize Medicaid because Medicare eligibility is just a little easier, but Medicaid eligibility takes a little bit of work. So you may need to do that work in advance to make things easier at the tax site. We also, if you are using our tool, we have listed under line 10, we tell you what the Medicaid eligibility rules are for your state. So if you're using that, you can use that for guidance. If you're using healthcare.gov, it's just going to ask you flat out, are you eligible for Medicaid? So it doesn't necessarily give you help to know if you are eligible for Medicaid.
Perfect. Okay, so when calculating the affordability exemption for marketplace coverage, we need to know if someone was eligible for Medicaid to get the information in line 10 correct. Again, how do we know if someone was Medicaid eligible? Do we use monthly income or annual income to make that call?
So this is one of the great controversies of the affordability exemption. So the answer from the IRS is that we're always looking at annual income, no matter what month we're looking at. So even if the taxpayer had very low income in one particular month, we're still supposed to figure out if they were Medicaid eligible based on annual income. Now, this is consistent with some ways to look at the affordability exemption, inconsistent with others. I can't fully reconcile it. I can just say what the IRS has said, which is that when we're looking at the question of whether someone is Medicaid eligible, we're using annual income. So in Summer's case, we're using that $13,000 and asking, is she with an income of $13,000, does she fall into the Medicaid eligible range? And we would say yes for her. Now, that is going to be true even if, she had zero income for 10 months and then had all of her income in the last 2 months. We would still consider her Medicaid eligible for the year because we're not trying to parse out month by month what her income was. We're only looking at year-end income. So think about it like that, that it would certainly be difficult in some cases to know, to go through a taxpayer's year and say, okay, how much did you earn in January? How much did you earn in February? How much did you earn in March? And go through month by month what their earnings were and a month by month calculation of Medicaid. So that would be difficult to do for the prior tax year. So instead, IRS rules say we're looking at annual income.
And then to piggyback on that, and to kind of review, looking at Summer, our example of Summer, she has no offer of employer coverage, and she would have been eligible for Medicaid but didn't enroll. So when you look at the affordability exemption based on marketplace coverage, why don't you account for the premium tax credit when you're calculating affordability in that case?
We're not discounting her lowest cost bronze plan by the premium tax credit because she wouldn't have been eligible for a premium tax credit. Had she applied at Covered California, which is the California state marketplace, if she entered her income and her age and all of that, she would have been pushed over into the Medicaid system. She would not have been pushed forward with premium tax credits. That's because she's not eligible under the rules to get a premium tax credit. So when we're figuring out when we're doing the marketplace coverage affordability worksheet, we're also saying she's not eligible for a premium tax credit. Incidentally, you know, we would also do this with someone who has income over 400% of the poverty line, which is actually not such high income. It's around $50,000 for a single person. So, but if someone has income over 400%, they're not eligible for a premium tax credit. So we're also putting zero in line 10. If someone is married filing separately, they're not eligible for a premium tax credit. So again, we exclude line 10. And just judge affordability based on the lowest cost bronze plan. And for the most part, you know, the worksheet is going to walk you through those decisions.
Okay, switching gears a little bit. So this is kind of a two-part question on the expanded hardship exemption that you get through the tax return now. First, is the taxpayer required to show any kind of proof that they qualify for that exemption? And then second, do those marketplace exemptions that require an application and get an exemption certification number, do those still exist and can you still use those exemption certification numbers?
So answering the second question first, yes, if you do have someone who has a marketplace exemption certification number, you can still use that. You can enter that in TaxSlayer and it should calculate that as an exempt month. They're so rare though. They're so rare, so I wouldn't anticipate you're going to see any of those. As far as the standard of proof, whether the taxpayer needs any proof of exemption eligibility, I would treat it the way you treat other things, other pieces of information that you have to take the taxpayer's word on. So. For instance, you can compare it to something like someone has business expenses. Do you make them show receipts? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But that's the level of scrutiny I think that exemption eligibility would get. Just because we have this duty to try to put together, help the taxpayer file an accurate, complete return. And so, think about that when you're asking these questions. Now, a lot of times when we ask these questions, like, did your child live with you for more than half the year? We're taking the taxpayer's word for it, and just they're signing the tax return under penalty of perjury, and so we don't need to scrutinize every single thing the taxpayer says. The same is going to be true here. So what we're saying is it's not a wink and a nod about whether someone is exemption eligible, but it's just an honest assessment of what their situation was. So the burden of proof is the same as in many things that the taxpayer says that we take their word on, or we think, I don't feel comfortable with that. I would always have the taxpayer, to the extent that there is some kind of proof, I would have the taxpayer include that just in their records, just in case they're maybe audited for some reason and the tax returns kind of opened up. It's always good for people to preserve some of that. So as I said, if you are claiming code G on the tax return and that there are 20 reasons you could claim code G, I would make sure that the taxpayer knows which one we're talking about, and I would write that down. I would write down you're eligible for code G because you declared bankruptcy. That I would make sure that the taxpayer knows that, so they don't look back in 3 years and say, I have no idea what that means. So that's how I would look at both your burden of proof and your record keeping.
Awesome. All right. Switching gears again, how does someone know the amount of their offer of employer-sponsored coverage, and how would you go about finding that information if they don't know it?
That is a tough one. I know it's difficult to know what the employer offer of coverage was, especially because they didn't take it. They had the employer offer, they saw it 12, 14, 16 months ago and didn't take it, and now we want them to know the number. The cost of that. So I would say, they can get it from their HR department. If they're still at the same job and they have an offer of employer-sponsored benefits for 2019, they were probably, you know, there may have been some comparison with 2018 compared to 2019 rates about, you know, what was the percentage increase, decrease of the employee contribution. So there might be, you know, sort of more recent documentation that you can get other than, you know, going back a year. But really, we're talking about going back a year and figuring out what the employer offer was.
All right, and one last question. Will TaxSlayer automatically calculate the exemption for states that didn't expand Medicaid if the taxpayer's income is below 138% of the poverty line?
No, and it makes me so sad that they don't. This would be a great one. It's a great candidate for an automatic calculation, but unless there's been some big change that they haven't unveiled yet, this is not one that TaxSlayer helps you with. And that's where it's, you know, if you're in a state that did not expand Medicaid in 2018, it's really helpful to have written down what that income level is at 138% of poverty. What income level does that equal, to make sure your preparers know whether their state expanded Medicaid or not, and to know the income calculation. And, you know, again, that's maybe the best use of the tool that we put together. Just want to give one final note. You may not need that tool at all. You know, it was developed at a time when TaxSlayer didn't have some of the functionality it has now. I still find it useful, but I don't get paid by the use. So it is there. It is available. It is, there are other tools out there that you may also be using. We're just trying to build your arsenal so you can, get through some of these trickier returns with less frustration and taking less time, because I know that if you step into the affordability exemption or really any of the exemptions and you're not familiar with the rules, it can be a real time suck. So we're just trying to give you a few tools and some knowledge to make this just a little bit easier, a little bit faster, a little bit more accurate.